I want to speak this morning on the subject, why do it the hard way. And for our text, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. The way of the unfaithful is hard. And the old King James has it, the way of the transgressor is hard. It may seem contradictory to my text and subject, and to general public opinion, but I need to say at the outset of my message this morning that God's way is not easy. If you think so, if you think you have found it to be that way, you had better brace yourself. It's not an easy road He's called us to travel, for many are the problems we meet. No, it's not an easy road. No, it's not an easy road. And there's another one that goes, God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. The Christian has difficulties and losses in so many areas, especially because if he's the Christian he ought to be, he's fighting the enemy, and we have a pretty powerful enemy, Satan, the devil. Of course, we know we have power over him through Jesus Christ, if we're living for Christ and doing our best to obey him. Well, but the Christian isn't necessarily more exempt from troubles than anyone else. How many of you heard say, even recently, I've had some in my own family, now not my wife, but I've heard some of my own family say, well, you know, we pay our tithes and we're faithful at church and do everything we can to serve God. I mean, you know, what's the problem? What the problem is, you're serving God and the devil doesn't like it. That's what the problem is. That's really a good problem. Just hold on. He didn't promise to keep you from the troubles, but God promised to see you through those troubles. Do I have a witness? Amen. Amen. There will be health problems and sickness. Sickness and injury aren't always the outgrowth of sin. Sin causes a lot of our physical problems. But I say to you, consider Job, Old Testament Job. His physical problems were because he loved God so much. And God was bragging on him to the devil. So to say God is not fair when we're suffering, maybe God's trying to prove something to the enemy or use us as a powerful witness to those about us. There will be loss of possessions. Consider Job again. It has cost some their reputation to go with Christ, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, in his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So, our reputation can even suffer because we take a stand for Christ. Jesus also said in Matthew 5:48, God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. But our promise of relief from those things is the promise of heaven. I still say the happily ever after. You remember as little children, we read those books with all those pretty colors and things, and they lived happily ever after. And so we got, oh, whew, life is just going to be a breeze, you know. No, the happily ever after is the hereafter. We're fighting the devil here on this earth. And so we're not trying to paint a gloomy picture. We're just saying the reality is that the promise of relief from all those things, suffering and pain and heartache and hardship, is the promise of heaven. And in case you haven't noticed, we're not there yet. Well, we're taking a cross and following Jesus Christ. That's what's happening. And that cross, He said to take and follow Him, is a rugged, heavy cross. And not only is God's way not easy, but I have to admit today, secondly, that the sinner's way does look easy sometimes, thanks to our enemy who wants to deceive us. It's the great trick of the devil, who John chapter 8, verse 44 says is the father of lies. He looks on and laughs to himself. These poor sinners think they're okay, think they're safe, since God hasn't apparently stricken anyone lately for disobeying Him. But folks, you can bank on it. The harvest is yet to come if we are sinning. The sinner's way looks easy. It's the big trick of the devil. He says to the unsaved, being a Christian is too confining. Too confining, too restricting. But anyone who has seriously followed Christ will joyfully testify to the very opposite. Do I have a witness? Being a Christian is a liberation. It's a new freedom. It's a whole new life. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creature, says 2 Corinthians 5:17. There are those who resist the gospel in turning to Christ because of what it will cost them. It's not what they can't do, as they say, but it's what they have to do when they're saved. A lot of folks smokescreen on that issue, but the fact that God lays claim to your tithes and offerings is a big factor in many not turning to Christ. I really believe that. Even though they point at so many other things as being the problem. Let me ask this morning, how many will testify today that God can do more with the 90% you have left over after tithing than you could do with 100% before you started tithing? Do I have a witness? God can do it. He will do more with that 90%. He'll do it. Praise His name. The enemy says, look at the world out there, having a big time. You will miss that if you go with Jesus. Miss having a big time. Through the years, I've mentioned it a number of times here, but I've heard it said, and in sort of a derogatory way, in the restaurant, the waitresses will tell you, or anyone who is around a restaurant much, if there's a table full of men laughing and having, cutting up and having a big time at a restaurant, it's either a bunch of men who are drinking alcoholic beverages or a bunch of preachers. And they think it's an indictment of how frivolous and silly preachers are. And I have to admit, we get cranked up sometime. Too much chocolate, too much coffee. Get high. That's why we get high. But what you have there on one hand is an artificial, phony joy with a hangover the next day. And on the other hand, with the preachers, it's the real joy, the joy of the Lord, without the hangover. Remember how in Acts chapter 2 and verse 15, Peter stood up and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose they are, with all this hooping and hollering and having a good time. Not a bunch of drunks. The Holy Spirit had just come in His fullness, and they were hilarious in the Lord and in the joy of the Lord and the peace of those who have found their rest in Christ. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 and 13, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. I'm talking about those out there in the happy hour, hooping it up. Even in laughter, the heart may ache and joy may end in grief. Well, the King James has it, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Wow. So the transgressor's way is hard. Our text this morning, Proverbs 13:15 in the NIV, the way of the unfaithful is hard. In the King James, the way of the transgressor is hard. That's not only a fact. Better than that, it's scriptural. It's a fact anchored in God's eternal truth. The best off sinner is worse off than the worse off Christian. We should be pitying them and not be envying them. Amen. If you're envying the world, it looks good to you, maybe you need another dip in the fountain of grace. Another trip to the altar. Why would I buy a lottery ticket and pay a dollar, even a dollar, for the misery it brings to those who play it? They're writing books now about the big winners and how it brings sorrow into their lives. When I stand in line to pay for my gasoline and wait for those poor people, those poor folks doing that, I want to say, by the sweat of your brow shall you eat bread. The Word of God is true and sure. He created us to earn our keep, and taking any other route is going to bring sorrow and heaviness. Paul said in Galatians, or someone says to me, what I need is to win the lottery. And I said, that is just exactly what you do not need. The Word of God speaks against that when it says, by the sweat of your brow shall you eat bread. Well, Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. A man sows what he reaps what he sows. And God will forgive our sins, but He will not. He does not promise to cancel the harvest we will reap for our sins. Today, they of the world are saying by their actions, if you at the church will please my fancy just right, after all, you're competing with some pretty heavy stuff out there on TV. If you'll please my fancy just right and do everything to please me, then I'll come along. I think church could work that in. Well, in response to that, I say, what about the cross Jesus called you and me to take and follow Him? A rugged, heavy, bloody cross. No. The church must not do that. Must not cater to and compromise with the world. The church cannot do that. Because one day we are all going to desperately need the church we thought we could get along without. And the Christ she preaches and teaches. At death, we will need the church and Christ, won't we? As the sign on an ambulance read, don't wait for me to take you to church. In serious illness, you will need Christ and the church. It's interesting how many times I've seen that bunch of hypocrites over at the church become some wonderful, godly people when I'm down and helpless and need their love and care and prayer. In losses, we will need Christ and the church. So, look up, Christian. You are better off by a million times because you have taken up your cross to follow Jesus Christ. As our district superintendent says, it's not all over. I've read how it's going to come out. And we are laying up treasures in heaven in addition to having peace of heart and mind and soul here on this sinful earth. Even though it's a heavy cross and sometimes we struggle to carry it, we are still so much better off. Do I have a witness? Amen. And that's not only a fact, it's a scriptural fact, it's a certainty. We are so much better off because we are making the effort today to worship Him and put a place of priority on God in our lives. The Bible tells us that we are here for a reason, and that when things get discouraging and it seems that those prospects out there, the unsaved, when it seems that they will never turn to God, when it gets discouraging, that God has asked us to keep on pressing on, and that He will help us bring them in and win them to Him. And if we are not here, then where we're supposed to be, faithfully carrying our cross and serving Him, and then they need us, then when you think about it, we're not too much better off than they are. All these jobs in the church, all these offices, all these things we're called upon to do. And we've seen it in action here today where people are serving Christ. Teachers, workers, directors, just all kinds of things people are doing. And a lot of it is behind the scenes. Thank God. God didn't say to do them perfectly. He just said to do your very best. And He takes my best and does the rest. Do I have a witness? He does. He does. And in those times, when we've done our best, and even it seems to flop, remember, God works in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. Some of the worst jobs I've ever done at serving Him, people have turned around and said, "Oh, what a sermon," or "What you said meant so much," or "What you did," or whatever. And I'm going, "Say what?" But God, when we've done our best, will take it and use it for His glory. Hallelujah! Isn't He a wonderful Lord and Savior? He's not a tyrant. He is a friend. He is a senior partner. We're not in this alone. He has said, "I will build my church." Well, so He just wants us to do our best to serve Him, live for Him, and promote His cause. And that's just what I intend to do by His grace. How about you this morning? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Take this old world, but give me Jesus. Take this old world, but give me Jesus. Let's stand. Take this old world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Let's sing it with the instruments. And if there's anybody here this morning who has a question in your heart and your mind about your relationship with the Lord, you're among people who love you and want to help you and help lift you and make your life better and richer in Christ. So I just say this morning, whether He wants you to come to this altar and pray or just say yes there where you are, I urge you, say yes to Jesus. He'll meet you where you are, and He will make the difference in your life. We can't do this that I've been preaching to do, that we must do. But with this senior partner and His Spirit taking over our lives, He can help us to live the life He's called us to live. Praise His name. Let's sing it.